Blog Talk Radio.
Crossover Radio, tying the community together. Crossover Radio, tying the community together.
Yo, I had to reinvent. I put the V in vent. I put the heat in vents. Man, I've been competing since. I look beyond what people saying and I see intent. Then I just sit back and decipher what they really meant. Cherish these nights. Cherish these people. Life is a movie, but there'll never be a sequel. And I'm good with that, as long as I'm peaceful. As long as 7 years from now I'm taking my daughter to preschool. Cherish these days. Man, do they go quick. Just yesterday, I swear it was 06. 10 years ago, that's when you proposed. I look down. Yes, I suppose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Toni Cartel. We back in the building, officially our very first Tuesday since we had our big break off. I'm in the building with my co-host, O Dunn. O, say what's up to the people.
What's up, Tasty Tuesday? How everybody doing tonight?
So what's going on with you tonight?
Shit, I'm ready to do the show. Like, you know, I'm always excited about the show. Tuesday night is reserved. Don't talk to me, don't call me, don't text me between the hours of 9 and 10, because I'm ready to get in.
Please believe it. With that being said, let's go ahead and knock this out the box. We're basically going to hit this topic in divorce, and we're going to hit this more than one way, because the way that today's society is handling this certain type of issue, it's not quite like it was handled back in the day, and things are going a little bit different. One or two things we want to touch on with this one right here is basically, how do you pick up the pieces without cutting yourself, without hurting yourself or damaging yourself? That's one thing. And another thing that I want to branch off from that is basically for the individuals that's out here that's leading this topic into a murder-suicide type ordeal. Just recently we had an incident out here where the husband wasn't really cool with the divorce. The wife was adamant about it. So he took matters into his own hands the way his mind told him to do it, and he drove not only himself but her and the three children, ranges from 3, 1, and 8 months, into the city, town, lake. And that's basically where I'm getting at with this, as well as how do you How do you pick up the pieces? How do you move on? And I want to hear not only from the couples that are just the couples alone, but the ones with the kids. Like, you probably have bad blood with this person if you're divorced. And some, not all divorced end up with bad blood. But from the ones that do end up in bad blood and you have children, how do you remain kind to each other? How do you keep that cordialness between the two so you can continue to move on and be continue to be positive role models in your children's life, if that's the route that you take? What do you think about that, O?
Wow. First, I want to touch on that whole murder-suicide thing, because actually I lost a friend a few years ago due to a murder-suicide. No, they wasn't married, but it was more or less like, if I can't have you, nobody can.
Right.
I see it as a real cowardly way to go out, because, you know, through breakups, we all hurt, especially when it's not the breakup that you want. But to actually not only take your life, but to take somebody else's life, honestly, I'm gonna be real blunt. Like, shoot yourself. Leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, because I want to live. Maybe you don't. You know, I'm sorry it's ending up this way, but I want to live. Let me live. Shoot yourself. And, like, that's just, it's a real touchy topic to me, because I've seen it more than once as far as, you know, not only men, women too, you
right.
know, killing men, killing themselves, men killing, like, we, it, that's, to me, I don't contribute only to just being that deep in love. You know, it has to be some type of a mental disorder. Like, because, you know,
right.
people break up all the time.
Exactly.
And you know, men hurt. They walk around in the rain, you know, cry to themselves. Women do the same thing. They eat ice cream or, you know, do what they do to get over it. But in time, they move on. You know, like, you know, Boys and Men said it best, you know, I'm doing just fine. You know, you took your love away from me, but I'm doing fine. Like, we all have that ending, but some people don't have the mental capacity to see that ending, that you're going to move on, you're going to find better. You know, and it comes to a point to where, you know, sometimes we try to hold on a thing that God is trying to break us apart from ourselves. So, and like that's been my whole thing. Like, yo, you break up with me, to me, that's just God telling me you don't need to be with that person. I don't care how much I love you or I'm in love with you. You break up with me, and guess what? All right, well, see you later. Yeah, I'm going to hurt. You know, if I'm in love with you, I'm going to hurt. But at the end of the day, somebody else going to come along and make it bigger and better. You know, so, like, for actually to go to the extent of, you know, that's where I'm killing you and I'm killing myself. It's like, you know, wow. You know,
right.
And then not only that, like, you're taking somebody away from families.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you ever had a friend or a situation that you heard of besides the one on the news that you might have been through where, you know, maybe they've been a close friend or something like that who, you know, kind of went through that situation?
Yeah. Hold on. My mic is acting up. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. The very first time I ever experienced it, we were really young as kids. And I would say this is around the time I was about probably 16. And the young lady that I'm speaking of, she was 16 as well. She was on a different path, and she, you know, had this guy. He was much older than we were. But it started out to the point to where, though, he did a lot of hitting her. You know what I'm saying? Weeks prior to her death, he had broke a jaw. And, I mean, she had several broken bones. She had black eyes all the time. And, again, she was 16. And she did have a son. And she had a son by him. And at the time that she passed away, the baby was no more than about a year old, I would say. However, I had saw her a week before her death. And this is back then when the bubble coats was out. She had the silver one. And she had I don't know where she got this wig from, but she had this blonde wig, and she was on the corner, and she was imitating the video from Mary J. Blige, Be Happy. So we were just bugging out from that. You know, everybody was just having a good time. Little to know later on that a couple of days later, she would be dead. You know what I'm saying? So he ended up, he lowered her. It was to the point to where, though, he would call her and tell her to come to the house, and he would have girls there waiting for her. They would jump her, and a whole bunch of nonsense. And, you know, our little crew, we was definitely with the shit. So we would have to go over there and you know, squash that out, just kind of, you know, let them know that it's not happening. Well, I guess that wasn't enough for him. Well, fast forward back to the subject. He went to the house under the pretense of him seeing the baby, and he lowered her to one of the local supermarkets. I'm not going to say the name because a lot of people out there may remember this story. He lowered her to his house first, beat her with a gun, and he basically killed her. To where though him and his brother drug her body to that local supermarket parking lot and left her body there. Again, this girl was 16 years old, and she was my friend. And that was the first time I had ever really experienced something like that firsthand, because this is not, I'm not talking about a girl that I just know. This was my friend. She's 16, same age as I am. It was already shocking to know that she had a baby. You know what I'm saying? And you just, at that time, yeah. It wasn't really like that, you know, have babies. Okay, so we got over that. But then to turn around and she was dead, that really, it really rocked my nerves. So from that point on, when I finally got over it, and I just was like really, really big on domestic violence, and I tried to avoid it at all costs. In fact, where it affected me, I had the type of attitude where, though, I'm going to get you before you get me. You know what I'm saying? And she didn't want to beat him anymore. She just wanted to go to school. She wanted to take care of her son. And she just wanted to do her. And she was still young. And you can't expect nobody, you know, nothing different from a person that's young like that. She never really had the type of mother that was like, oh, you know, you got to come in this time. And you can't do it. Just let her run wild. Because that's what she wanted to do. This dude's family, I'm not really sure about where his son, because we didn't know him that well. The first time we heard anything about him, it was bad business. So we really didn't know him. At the second time, you know, he took my girl out. He took her out, and I think it's real selfish of you. He didn't do nothing to himself, but, you know what I'm saying, he got time. I don't even know if he's still locked up behind it. But at the end of the day, that little boy suffers because his mom's is gone, and his father is locked up for God knows how long. And what's the point? What was the point of you taking this girl's life? It was not worth it. It's not worth it. Not when there's a billion more people in this world that you can really, you know, say, get you a new one.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you telling me that story. Like, I grew up right around the corner from the house that it happened there, and I went to school with her sister. Like, it's a small world, but yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. I know the situation you're talking about, and you know, I know a lot about that situation, and that was a sad situation, you know, for her to have to go out that way. But you know, like the whole domestic violence. I mean, you know, we all went through situations. I don't say we all, you know, people go through situations where, you know, women put their hands on men put their hands on women, you know, some people do it, they vow not to do it again, they don't do it again.
Right.
You know, and then some people choose to live with it, some people choose to live without it. You know, but it's never a place in love that anyone should have to accept that.
Right. And you know what, my question is this. And I always ask myself, every time I hear a situation like this, basically when this last incident happened, to where though the individual, he killed himself, the kids, and her. My question is this. If you're that adamant about your feelings towards this person, number one, why isn't it that you didn't correct it before it got to the point of divorce? You know what I'm saying? Why didn't, if you was that strong about the love you had for that person, that you didn't want nobody else to have him or her, why didn't you do everything in your power? Why didn't you exercise that same strength that you had to love that person, to be in love with that person, to make sure everything was going the way it needed to go, instead of letting it get to this point to where as though you feel as though that's your only option? If you're that strong, if your feelings are that strong for a person, then maybe there could have been a way that you could have resolved this issue and kept your family together. Keep in mind, you have babies. These babies are young. So there had to be some type of bondage or intimacy or something somewhere to where as though y'all still are having kids. So whatever the situation at hand was, it could have been fixed versus you're ending someone's life, not only your life. You never gave her a chance to say whether she would work it out or whether the kids had a chance to go to kindergarten or first grade, graduate high school, or even yourself for that matter. You know, people, when we get mad, and I know I'm guilty of it a lot of times myself, when we get mad, our emotions take over us. And we may say things, oh, since you did this and did that, and I want a divorce, and this, that, and the third. But that doesn't mean after I calm down that we can't sit like two adults and possibly work this thing out. It's not worth me taking your life and you taking my life, because if you do that, it's just not us that's at the end of the rope. We are affecting many other people behind us that we're leaving behind. You know what I'm saying? Whether you take the kids or not, there's grandmothers, there's grandfathers, there's aunts, uncles, brothers, and sisters that's now affected. So you basically killed off them too. So it's not really worth it. What is it that you couldn't get across to this individual to where as though you felt death was the only option and the only way out?
Some people don't see past that me and you situation. You know, whether they want to try to label it as a Bonnie and Clyde or Ike and Tina or Whitney and Bobby, like, some people don't see past that situation. You know, they don't see the children, they don't see the parents, they don't see the brothers and sisters. They just see what they went through with that person. So when it feels like it's coming to an end, you know, if you're not rationally thinking or you don't have the mental capacity to rationally think, then guess what? You know, you react irrationally. You know, you lash out in the worst way possible. You know, like me, I'm a firm believer. And, you know, not to go off topic too much, but it's just like these people that's running up in these schools and these movie theaters and they shooting all these innocent people and all that's going on, it's all about, you know, mental health.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You
from
know,
that
it's like, you go to the doctor every month or every few months to check on your physical health. You go to the dentist to check on your dental health. Like, when are we going to start instituting times for people to go and get checked up on their mental health?
Yeah.
You know, it's not to label somebody slow or you know, mentally disabled, but at the same time, like, you talking about protecting other people versus just protecting yourself, you know, because mental health above all things is what affects, you know, a broader scale of people. You know, like,
but,
for example,
then,
you know, like,
you
got to
think of it like this. You got to think of it like this. A crazy person doesn't know that they're crazy. You understand what I'm saying? So this person that may have gotten to their breaking point to where as though this person that's trying to leave them, that's all that they have. And dealing with today's society and the world that we live in, if you get that one person that's your solid rock and that person has been with you and stuck through you through thick and thin and then all of a sudden just up and say, oh, guess what? Motherfucker, I don't want to be here no more. That kind of does something to you. It does something to you to where though it causes you to snap. You can be 37 years old and 36 years out of your life, you lived it a complete sane one. But it just takes that one thing to send you over the edge. Not that it drove you crazy. Maybe it's possibly that is just the final straw that broke the camel's back and made what was already in you come all the way out. Prime example, me. I'm back fucking crazy. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. It is what it is. I got paperwork to prove it. I will snap in a minute, and I don't know what the fuck the problem is. I don't know why y'all got a problem with it. I'm completely fine with it. There's medication that they have me on. I don't take it. Oh, fucking well, stop fucking with me, and I won't snap. But at the same token, I learned to control myself. You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on, you said back to being crazy?
No, I'm bat crazy, B-A-T, crazy. Loony bug crazy.
Oh, I was say, when did you ever leave crazy?
No, but my thing is this.
That's your address.
Shut up. There's different things and different ways people handle it. Like, my comfort zone is my children. So that kind of, like, brings me back to normality, so to speak. But some people don't have that. Some people can't see to that. They can't get to that to even see past that. You understand what I'm saying? So, like I said, this person that chose to take his wife's life or her husband's life may not have shown signs. They may have shown signs, and it may have just been like, oh, she got a nasty attitude. Oh, she just bitching today. Oh, he's just in his mood. He just feels some type of way about something. Oh, how many cases do we hear? Don't know. I'm not going to go here because if so-and-so hear me at this club, he going to snap. That's signs of a mental illness somewhere. Because at no point in time can you control the actions of another adult. You just can't do it. But at the same token, it could be a person that just real laid back and just got pushed to the point to where as though they snap. And when they do snap, it's too late. It's too late.
Yeah. I think another thing too is like the world wants to make society weak. For example,
right.
Like, you know, growing up, you know, like if you know, you trip and fall and you brush your knee open and, you know, you bleeding and, you know, you a lot of times it'd be your mother, like, oh, you know, you ain't gonna die. Just go up there and put that peroxide on and cover it up. Go back outside and finish playing.
Right.
Nowadays, it's not like they're having these kids, parents pick them up, run to the emergency room, and they gotta get all this medical attention, you know, and then even with the discipline level. You know, and I know, like, you had a lot of abusive parents who was abusing kids, taking it too far. But at the end of the day, when you talk about overall society, like, the discipline that we went through as kids had a stern effect on us as adults. You know, it taught you to be tough, and it taught you that, yo, you can't just get away with this and think that you're going to sit here and have, what is it called, child protective services? Dyson,
right.
Whatever you want to call it.
No, exactly.
Man, shit. I wish Dyson would have came knocking on my mother's door after we done did so. Should have probably used a belt on their ass, too. But, you know, like, that's it. So now it's like people don't know how to deal with situations because,
right.
You know, they're not mentally
built
tough.
Like that. They're not built like that.
Exactly, you know. And that's what we go through, so.
And with that being said, let's stream across away from the death part. Let's stream across away from the death part. How does a person that is going through a divorce cope with it? How do they deal with it in its entirety? How do you become okay from it? You understand what I'm saying?
Let's get you a side dude.
And that's not always the answer. That's not always the answer because, yeah, millions of people think, oh, the best way to get over one nigga is to get under another one. No, you're just putting a Band-Aid over a wound that deserves stitches.
You don't get under them. You get beside them. That's why it's called a side dude or a side chick. And it's
really?
Like this. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You know, you just go hang out with them. Go to the bar or whatever. Have your drink.
Now you know damn well that's not how that's gonna end up. You get
listen.
Side nigga don't have no damn drinks. I can have drinks in my own damn house. You trying to smash this nigga?
Oh, and that's right. He's trying to smash, so he gonna let you vent. You gonna get everything off your chest, and you gonna feel better.
Oh, okay, all right. So how much is that making you better?
You get to vent. You don't have all this built up inside of you. You get to release it. And then you get to release
all
it.
All that's doing is just being able to give you something to go back to that same nigga that you getting ready to divorce from and say, so what, motherfucker, I don't give a fuck because I'm fucking somebody else anyway.
But
and you
see,
get your mouth shut open.
That's the immature part, though. You don't supposed to say nothing. You're supposed to let him think that you're just going through it. Like, and then, you know, you're like, okay. You know, he like, yeah, I'm coming to pick up my TV because I bought that from Walmart when it was on sale on Christmas. And you're not keeping that shit because you ain't going to have no dude sitting there watching my goddamn TV and my Netflix for my $8 a month. So, you know, he come in, he take all this shit. You're like, I'm going to try to get him another TV. And, you know, he leave out the door, he close the door. All right, look, bro, he left. Let's go. I'm ready. We going now. So, you know what I'm saying? Like that, it helps. You know, you can't get too attached to this new dude too quick because now you're jumping into something you're not ready. But just the company and the exposure and the friendliness and you being able to vent, because trust me, a dude wants something, he going to sit there and listen to you all night. He going to let you vent all night and hope that you fall asleep on his shoulder.
So that's where randomly fucking comes into play. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to avoid that. We're trying to turn this thing around. And that's not really helping her. So what's wrong with her taking time to herself and getting herself, loving herself all over again, and getting herself together in the same raggedy-ass little fucking TV he took up out of there, you go with your money that you work hard for, and you go fucking buy a bigger one. Now you fuck around with this raggedy-ass motherfucker that probably just got a side, he made you the side chick because his bitch done left him. Now you done got knocked up. Who baby is it? Now the motherfucker that just left you, get ready to come back and say, oh, that might be my baby, that ain't my baby. And now you got more problems on top of the problems you just had when you could have went and bought your own damn TV. Oh, done.
You can't get that emotionally involved in it. Like, you gotta take it for the fun it is. That's where everybody go wrong with the side dude and the side chick. They want to come with the emotional part of it. There's no emotion in this. The company. You know, like we're this show three company with Jack and those two chicks he was living with. You think he was all in love with them? No, he was banging them every night and going to sleep. Like. And they all lived in the same apartment, and they it worked for them.
I had to come and come on, Omar. You can't know. No. You only gain something when the person is finding a loser, you got to lose. If you a side nigga dealing with somebody going to divorce, get ready to become the main nigga. Because what you going to become for her? She needs a teddy bear.
Exactly.
So she's going to need to become a main source of comfort. So, therefore, that is not going to work the way you want to. Let me give you 101 being the side. The side is the side to a main course. If the main course becomes a teddy, the side becomes the main course.
But, see, that's where the woman goes wrong if she's trying to make it do her side do. Because if she comes with all the balls, like, she got to let the emotion go. And she got to come down off that ladder. Help me off the ladder.
You losing focus, Omar. Listen, we saying how you get over a divorce. It's not a good idea for somebody that's going through a divorce to jump in bed with somebody else. If they're not emotionally stable at the time, it's not going to work out. We're not discussing how to become a side dude or a side chick. It's not going to work that way.
Okay, if you want to go through a divorce, just... Eat a bunch of ice cream. I don't know. Something like that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You need to forgive yourself.
Okay.
I think that the person
needs to
forgive
themselves. I need y'all to advise me on this situation.
Yeah, they need to forgive themselves. Because most times, especially for women, most times they start blaming themselves. They get so emotional, wrapped on something. They need to forgive themselves and take ownership of what part they play in the breakup.
And that's why I said you have to learn to love yourself all over again. Because at some point in time, and I think I just said this yesterday or last week, there's two individuals in a couple, and it's only supposed to be two individuals in a couple. One got out of the two have to learn to love themselves again. Because apparently you're not giving your partner or your spouse a space to love, attention, and affection that they need. Reason why it's going all bad. Something, there's a disconnect somewhere. So in order for you to be able to get into another healthy relationship, you have to right that wrong so you don't take it over to your next relationship, even if it's fixing it from the last relationship. Even if you call a divorce off and, okay, we're not going to do this, even if you go back at it, you have to right the wrong. You can't right his wrong. He can't right her wrong. You got to right your own damn wrong. And you got to learn how to fix things within yourself in order to be able to fix a situation. You can't go back in there with, oh, the only reason why I did this is because you did this. No. It's a saying, every action has a reaction. But at the same token, you can't always use that as an excuse, because we got to be adults about this. And we got to make sure that we're on a straight and narrow, and everything that we're doing is on our end is 100%. So when you finally decide to divorce and you can't cope with it, what we're trying to find out is, how do you pick yourself up from that point? We've already established that you learn to love yourself again. But absolutely at no point in time do you jump right back into bed or jump right back into another relationship with another individual to make yourself feel okay, because that's just temporarily. You're only going to feel okay as long as that nut lasts. Once that's over with, you're gonna lay there, because he's going home, she's going home, probably to her main course or his main course, and you're going to still be sitting there with the thoughts in your head about what this last one did, and, oh, my God, this one just did this to me, but yet still he's going home to her. So you're causing yourself more problems.
No, but seriously, all that is done in time. Like, there's no real formula to getting over any situation. If you're willing to take the time to get over a situation, you will get over that situation.
So why don't you just give yourself, instead of dealing with someone else, why don't you just give yourself that time? A lot of people is not giving themselves that time. They're thinking right now in the moment, if I go find me somebody else to occupy me, it always starts off, I'm just going to chill with them. We just going to go to the movies, and we just going to have drinks. And them drinks, you get one drink too many, guess what? Your leg's behind your head, or you smacking somebody on the ass real hard, and it turns into something different, because now all you're doing is just transferring of emotions. You're just transferring what little bit of love you have level, so you think, or your emotions, over to this person that was only supposed to chill with you. So if it takes time over a situation, why not give yourself that time? Why not get yourself together? Get involved in something. Further educate yourself. Get involved in something as far as your children with school. Learn to love you again. Hell, go mani-pedi. Go take some time away. Get yourself right. And then jump back in it.
Okay, I have a question. So how do you have someone that's married and they don't have children, and they've been with this person and they get divorced, and the person, you know, they got a child outside the household, so what's the person going to do? There's no kids in the relationship, so you don't have no connection to the person, but your heart. I find a lot of women and men at that point be harder, because usually you get divorced, you feel like, you know, we got kids together. I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see her again. People find comfort
right.
in that. So what about
right.
the people that have no children? Oh, it feel like this. Like, I've been with this person all this long, and now they walking away, or either she's pregnant and on with her life, or he done got kids on with his life. How does that person that's left, quote unquote, behind deal with it?
Oh, is
see, that's hard. I'm married with kids, so I can't answer that.
We could go visit Build-A-Bear or something like.
Oh my God!
You said go Build-A-Bear.
Build a bed.
Look, it's very relaxing.
I put that question up only to say that it's not about divorce, it's about getting married. First of all, when you're marrying somebody, you marry, quote unquote, your best friend. That's the person that you're showing society. When you see this person, you see me.
Right.
We're into the same thing. We're doing that. So I think a lot of times what's happening, people are married for the wrong reasons, for the look. People get married for the look. Or, I've been with you for so long, I'm going to go ahead and get married to you. Not the fact that, do I really love this person? And think about the worst thing, like the stuff you don't like about the person, you live with that. or he snores at night, or either she talks too much, but I don't care. I still want to be with her.
What, she can't fry chicken?
Oh, she can't fry chicken, she can't cook, but I still want to be with her. I want to cook beside her. I want to teach her how to cook. That's a deal breaker for me.
That's a deal. If you can't fry chicken, that's a deal breaker.
But you got to understand this, too. You got to understand this, too. I'm almost positive you knew that this individual couldn't fry chicken before you said I do. So this is falls into the guidelines of marrying for the wrong reason. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't know people. I like what's happening. People doing stuff for the Lord.
But she could have.
Even
the
divorce, it's everybody following trends.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people nowadays get married because it's like a thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people fall into that trap of marrying the wrong person because they just doing what it is to, that thing to do. Like, me personally, when kind of dealing with marriage, it's like, you got to have no doubt whatsoever that you want to spend the rest of your life with this person. Good and bad. If you want to spend the rest of your life with a cheater, then God damn it, marry that cheater. If you want to spend the rest of your life with, yo, it, I mean, listen, the flaws and, you know, the good outweighs the bad. You know, and for some women, this guy can make a lot of money, give a good sex, very friendly, send the flowers to work, you know, treat her like a queen, but he cheats. Now, for some women, that little cheating thing may not be nothing compared to these other things. And some women, that little one thing, oh, no. I don't care what you do
okay,
on the other end. I'm not dealing with that. So when it comes to marrying a person, it's like you have to know that this is the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And a lot of times where we go wrong, honestly, is that these kids are jumping into these relationships at an early age before they get to learn themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it's the fact of the matter is, we're willing to go through all what you just now said, but you're willing to have sex with somebody unprotected and have children. So my thing of it is, you're saying all this, but you're willing to put your life on the line, so what you're doing, you have sex. You're giving somebody an option in your life, a really big option, to get pregnant or you get a disease. You're putting that out there for them, but you're not going to marry this person, but this person's going to raise a part of you. So it's a whole big thing when you start talking about all that part and that part. It's just like, how you okay with having sex with somebody unprotected and having children, but you got this long list of being married. Like, it's just backwards.
Yeah.
A lot of things need to be done on that matter. But when you love somebody, all that cooking chicken, you don't care because you want to teach them how to cook chicken. That's real love right there.
Yeah.
Love don't have, and that's what people are saying. Love don't have conditions. Because a lot of people will be loving who they with. Because to tell you the truth, you have a control who you love. And that's why I think it hurts people with, like, that. Why I love this person? You really don't be knowing.
Right.
She killed some no chicken. You know what I'm saying? She get on my nerve, but you still right there loving it out.
Exactly. That's the thing, like, you know, if somebody comes to that person, certain individual, and ask them, like, why do you love me? Like, most people don't have a real answer. Like, they may manufacture one in the moment, you know, and say, you know what, yo, the crazy thing is, here's the most common answer that they all get to get out of that question is, you my everything. I can't imagine life without you. I love you so much. Like, somebody tell me that shit. That's bullshit. Tell me why you love me. Like, give me a real answer. Like,
what about being your friend? People always say, because that's my best friend. And
yeah,
people
that's
like
another
best
one,
friend.
Too.
Yeah, that's my best friend, but you really don't know it. That's your best friend, but as soon as a girl walks through the door, you jumping on him. Oh, my God, that's not – how you so insecure so quick? That's your friend.
That's your best friend, but you don't even know his middle name. Like, isn't it crazy?
It's a lot of stuff. But some of you said earlier about, you know, you marry a cheater. If you marry somebody that you know that about, he's not a cheater. This is how I feel. Now, everybody's going crazy with the Latoya thing and Mrs. Blank, you know, I couldn't do what she do, the 8 pussy passes that she give him. But
oh, hell no.
He's not cheating.
Oh.
He's not cheating.
Oh.
They are
they
dumb.
Have a,
she agreed to him to do that. That's
yeah.
not cheating.
Keisha,
you know what I'm saying? You
make him. They have a label for cheaters that get married. They call them swingers.
Yeah, pretty, very much so. Very much so. Because baby, let me tell you, I'm not having it. I'm not having
like,
it.
Yo, like, that's what
that's
it is. Like,
swingers, no, swinging is when you, no, swingers know who the person is and they all that. That's a swinger. Or women marry men, like, you know, athletes. Some women marry their man. They know. They been counting on certain amount. They say, no. He's going to do that because his big cow's worth it. Some women live like that. Some men, too, they're like, you know, she out there. When he get ready to come back home, I'm going to tell you something, too. We love our grandparents to death. That's something they did all the time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That dog will follow his bike back home. They live by that.
Man.
Exactly.
We just made it something else right now. Yeah, I couldn't deal with it normally.
No, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm sorry. Two things that I ask. I ask that you do not disrespect me and do not lie to me. If you do not do those two things, we can pretty much work out anything. Now, when I say disrespect me, that means a many of things. And not really so much a many of things, but the main thing as far as when you say I do to me, you don't to others. Basically, that's what that means. So you're not going to disrespect me. When I feel disrespected or if you stand in my face and lie to me, there's going to be a problem. I'm not going to back down from that. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to bend it just a little bit. That it is what it is. The same way I treat you is the same way I want you to treat me. If I don't go throwing ass out of both pants legs to any and every Tom, Dick, and Harry, then I'm expecting you to respect me the same damn way. Ain't no pussy passes. Ain't no VIP card, no very important pussy, somebody else's pussy. Ain't none of that. None of that. If you don't want me to chop you up and send pieces to your mother every week, you might want to stay in your place. I don't know what's
on her
mind.
Tell
She's
me,
crazy.
Take that medicine right now.
I'm taking notes.
You just have a chopper and send to your mama.
I will. I sure will. And then after she gets your last toe, I'll turn myself in.
Let me get my pen and my pad, take some notes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need you to take that medication. But you know what? I want to say this. It's so funny how everything is going towards the mental health. That's the field I work in. And we were talking about on the sports channel yesterday, the mental health in the black community, it's a big thing because we are taught, what goes on in this house, stay in this house. Black women are taught, you got to be a strong black woman. You can't, you know, go under pressure. But look what's going on right now. There's a lot of issues that we you know, our men, they scared the cops get pulled over. Our women, we scared to send our boys outside. So we all have some mental health issues. The society is putting on us. And we have to every day put a smile on our face, especially if we have sons. And if you're a black man living in society right now, you got to have some type of issue because you got to look over your shoulder. You know what's going on. You don't know. At any given moment, when some other race feels as though you don't belong or you look a little bit a suspect, your life is on the line.
Yeah. It really
so
is.
How you
and you know what?
Like that without having an issue?
My main question to that mental health issue is, think about it, back in the day, all of these conditions that has arrived in this day and age, like bipolar condition, and you see commercials for the medication all the time. That it wasn't dealt with medication back then, and it was nowhere near as violent as it is now. Where
exactly.
did it go wrong? You know what I'm saying? Is the medication?
When I moved up here, when I moved to Pennsylvania, I'm not going to lie to y'all. All these kids up here, they get their kids medication quick. Ritalin up the ass. Pennsylvania is the number one pill pushing state in the United States. But another thing about that is we had bipolar. It's just that we didn't know what it was. There's a few people inside asylums and do all different things type for them. It was the same problem. It's just that we dealt with a difference how you look at it. That crazy uncle that you people oh don't mess with such and such. You know you better not talk to him. He had issues, but we didn't deal with medication. But he had issues that.
It's not as bad as it is now.
Can I say something?
It's how you look at it.
Listen, this is you know what's missing is the family matriarch. Now you think about anybody that had some type of mental disability growing up. There was always that one, what do you want to call it, big mama, grandmother, or anything else. If he got out of line and she came outside and said, "You better get your ass in this house to sit down," what did they do?
Got in the house to sit down.
That's right.
Exactly. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like that family matriarch controlled all the situations, down to the family members that had those disorders. They weren't trying to cross grandma or big mama or whatever you want to call it. If it was her son, you know, my mother. Like, for example, like, you know, the area I grew up in, we had this guy who was kind of like, you know, he was mentally disabled. And what happened was he would chase us. Sometimes for fun, we would mess with him to get him to chase us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he would take off and he would chase us down maybe four blocks if he could. But at the end of the day, when his mother came outside and told him, "You better get in this house and leave them kids alone," guess what? He stopped in his tracks.
Right.
He turned around and went in that goddamn house. And a lot of times, see, the family structure
is respect.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that,
it's
you know what I'm saying?
Away. In African American, I can't speak of nobody else's culture. I see it's before when a lady walked outside and said something, everybody was quiet. I don't care if I hated you. We're not about to fight. If your mother came outside, I'll shut up.
Welcome back. Yeah, I'll fight. Yeah.
So now let me ask both of y'all this. Being that we're on the topic of divorce, being that divorce nowadays is on the utmost rise these days, Do you not think that at some point in time these families need to remain together to get these kids in line? Because we all say the same thing. It all starts at home. If I have, like myself, I have five children. I'm the mother of five. And if my five goes by the laws and the creed that we went by back in the day with the big mama, with the block mama, with the lady down the street that don't play no games, you can't throw your ball in her yard or she gonna keep the shit and whoop your ass when you come and get it. If we all go back to that, that's five less people that's in the street running damn crazy and wreaking havoc. You understand what I'm saying? Because
exactly.
They have not only am I going to be stern, not stern to where they feel like they're in the military or prison, but when I say something, my husband backs it up and you are to abide by our rules. You understand what I'm saying?
It's not even with that. It's not even because you had the single mother on the block. It's the men on the block became like fathers to those children and kept them in line. So, you know, divorce was big back then, too, the way you handled the family, the village. So you had, you know, Uncle Thomas and Aunt Josephine, they broke up, but the brothers and other people still stepped in. That's what's happening. We can't go in and make people be together for that reason. Because sometimes if the parents can't get along, it might mess the kids up more.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's about the village, the strength of the village, being strong. Like when you're having children, and that's when we black people, if you go back and do your history, that's when we had children, like, they brought up to the sky, to the village, to show this baby belongs to all of us. This baby succeed, we all succeed. So when this baby doing wrong, I want everybody to say something about it. We need to direct this baby in the right direction. That's what we lost. Don't do that. But if your child do something good, like, oh, look at my baby doing something good. But when your child there messing with cars or being grown, I'm telling you about it. Don't talk about my child. Then everybody starts shutting down.
Right. And my point is this, if we're all on one block, O and his wife in one house, K Key, you and your husband in one house, me and my husband on in our house. Oh, you got what, three or four kids? Oh,
no, man.
Three.
You got how many?
I got three.
You're three, me, my five. That's half the block, the kids that's on the block right there. So if my kids come from down the street, they stop in front of the old house, and one of my daughters is getting slick at the mouth with the lady across the street, oh, you snatch her up and bring her back to the house, and there we settle it. So if more families learn to come together but start within their own house, if you can't get along in your house, how the hell you think you're going to get along with the lady down the street? So at some point in time.
That village, yes.
You got to build that shit back up.
Okay.
But a lot of times, and I'm going to even speak for myself, a lot of the arguments that took place between my husband and I was very fucking juvenile. You would have think that we were 17 years old again. It was very fucking childish. Something that we could have honestly waited till the kids went to sleep, went in that damn room and discussed like two adults, came to a mutual agreement, and woke up the next day and dealt with something else totally different. So if everybody be mature and act like adults that want to raise civilized individuals that will soon turn out to be young individuals that's going to run this country, then we'll get it together inside our household so we can spill it over on the block and create that and build that block stronger.
It's not even of, you know what I'm saying, like, okay, you get married, you have kids, and then y'all break up, like, stand together for the kids. Because at the end of the day, like, you have married couples that produce kids that don't be shit in society. But, yeah, and still you have people that have broken up that have kids that has gone on to be very successful and very productive people in society. What it comes down to create better odds for your kids, if you do break up, don't be immature about it.
Right.
But
right.
You know what? But
come together
like
as adults. But see,
it's the exception. And I just feel the same way you felt, Omar, like saying, like, oh, you know, we got single mothers that have good children. It's like saying we got black people that make good decisions that don't, you know, come from the hood. But when you got a million people in the hood and only 500 make it, it's a problem. When you got a million single mothers and only 100 of them be successful, it's a problem. Because you can always have a good outcome from a bad outcome. Doesn't mean that it's not a bad outcome, a bad situation.
Now, see, you
but
have
any parent that was a single parent that had children that became good will also say my child would have been better had I had help.
Now, that falls into what I'm trying to describe is that you can break up, and y'all can sit down maturely and say, this is not what we want anymore. We're going to sit down with the kids, and we're going to explain them. But at the same time, it's more than just what you say. It's what you do behind it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they have to, because I'm going to tell you something. Like you have parents that's in a situation, when they get together, and the kids looking, and the kids feel that tension, and the parents trying to fake it, you know, like, just for the kids, for the kids to feel attention because they knew how y'all used to be. They knew how y'all used to be in love. So now y'all back around each other and the kids feel attention. But when you maturely have a real mature breakup, okay, we need to really get over this for these kids. And y'all can come around, y'all can say, you know, smile, hey, what's up, how you doing? And the kids know, okay, they love each other, but they're not together. It's an easier transition with the kids. And I know that's not always the case, but if we could create more of that through breakups instead of trying to use these kids as pawns to get back at the other person, then, you know, yeah, exactly, because every situation is not guaranteed. And you always have had couples break up. You have couples break up now, and you always will have couples that break up. But at the end of the day, it's how you break up, no matter what you say this person did to you. If y'all got kids together, at some level, you got to come up off that and say, look, we got these kids here.
But you know where that comes from, too? It's not like some people I see. I have a friend that I know. Her husband, they co-parent beautifully. When I say they co-parent, it's out of this world. Together, they were horrible. But they co-parenting for them children is something like I can't believe it. With the fact that we had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend, when I put out her house, the ex-wife let the girlfriend come stay with her while he was getting they stuff together. That's how they is. And the husband, the ex-husband, can tell you, the new girlfriend wanted a big house. She had like 6 kids. He told her, I can't build a big house with my kids living in an apartment building. I make sure my wife is comfortable with my kids first.
Exactly.
And that's exactly how she feels.
I'm not one that's going to hold no kids from nobody, because at some point in time I had to love and respect the fact that you was the person that I was going to lay down to produce these kids in the first place. And that's never been my thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not one to keep nothing, because just as well as they're mine, they're yours as well. And I'm not one of those bitter ones that say, oh, you don't want nothing to do with me. You ain't going to have, you ain't going to feed your baby and none of that. No. Please come get them. Please take them away. Don't come and sit in my house with them. Don't watch Tiny Toons with them. Don't watch Chipmunks with them. You get them, they will be dressed, and I will see y'all later. I need for you to do that. So I'm not going, and that, I think that's been a big concern. All my kids are not by my husband. So I think a lot of the people, they don't feel as though, what happened?
I'm piggybacking on what you just, I just want to throw this out there real quick. To these mothers, if you feel as though your baby father ain't shit and you talking about it all day long, when he come over to pick up your son and you lay down with him, like, what are you sending to your children?
You ain't shit.
Like, I'm saying, don't do that. I hate that. Yo, I just seen this earlier. There's a girl I know. When I say she destroyed her baby father's character to her children,
wow.
But, yo, you sleeping with him. What? And you have a boy child.
Wow.
Like, don't do that. Don't. First of all, you shouldn't be bad to him. If he's not a good man to you, that's the difference of being a good father. Realize that.
Yeah,
he might not be
worth
it. That's different. That's
different. When it comes to separation, you can't interfere the bond or the dealings with the child and the other parent. You can't get involved in that.
A father or a mother is different being a girlfriend. First, I'm good. I tell a man all day long, you could change a girlfriend type of change all the time. That's your child. That's your child.
Yeah.
Never going to change. And you won't even realize that. Stop it.
Get your ass
he
out.
He could be cheating, disrespectful, all, but first of all, you chose him, you lay down with him, whatever. Y'all time had ended. But if you let him bust in you without a condom, and you got his baby, oh, well.
But you know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? Honestly, yo, I'm gonna put this on the guys that sit here and they act like they're in love with this girl, and they telling this girl they loving her and they doing all this shit. And as soon as this baby comes, these motherfuckers flip. on some level, you cannot blame this female for laying down with him, because this dude did everything right to make her fall in love. But then all of a sudden, the baby comes, and these dudes want to, that ain't my baby. What the fuck do you mean it ain't your baby, yo? Did you even take a fucking test? And then you got these dumbass dudes sitting here, and they're looking at a fucking ultrasound to say, yo, this baby ain't dark as me. It's a fucking ultrasound, dumbass. What the fuck is you talking about? Like, you know what I'm saying? And you know what? Those are dudes that fucking piss me off. Like, yo, you see on TV all the time. These dudes, it be a newborn fucking, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, my daughter came out looking like me, right? Then she started looking like her mother. Then she started looking like me again, and now she looks like her mother. You think I'd be a fucking fool to sit here and when she stopped looking like me, I'm saying, oh, this ain't my daughter. She don't look like me. Like, come on.
No,
like, yo, sometimes the kids, listen, I'm going in right now. Sometimes the kids look like the fucking grandparents. Sometimes the kids may look like the grandparents. And your dumbass sitting here talking about the baby ain't even here yet, and you looking at the fucking ultrasound talking about, oh, he don't have my nose. He don't have a nose yet, you fucking stupid ass. Like, that's the shit that pissed me off with these dudes, because they scared to be fathers, but then and now they trying to find any way out, and they hurt this girl, and then they mad at the backlash. Like, yo, all
no,
this shit. Because,
no,
listen. at the end
of the day, we're running out of time, yo.
I know, but let me say this. At the end of the day, if you lay down with somebody unprotected, it's possibly yours. So don't sit there saying it ain't mine before you get that test, because guess what? It can be yours. Like, don't
wait,
motherfucker,
this,
that
this
pissed me
off. The baby, the little girl, like, 3 years old, and she got chubby. He going to say, you know, tell my husband, this can't be my daughter because she's chubby. We all skinny over here. Yo, he swabbed his baby mouth because she was chubby. I was done.
Yeah, like, no.
Mind you, his baby mama, like, 300 pounds. My nigga.
Exactly.
Man, come on now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People don't understand bone structure. Like me, I'm not a big dude, but the way my frame is built, I can carry 225, 230 pounds with ease, and I won't feel heavy. I'm like 150 now. That's just because of the type of work I do. But my frame, I can carry 200, you know what I'm saying, 230 pounds. So for
you
me to stay home, I'm like 150, yo.
Boy, you better get the fuck out of here. You can't do that with me.
Hmm?
Not you always talking that sweet shit. You too light now.
Tony. Hey, Tony. Tony, I didn't add the extra 12 pounds that I come with.
What else? I don't give a fuck if you got your pocket a brick or whatever. You ain't. Let me tell you something. That's another show. John Hicks is running out of time.
Hey, man, listen. David slayed Goliath, so it's possible. Don't sleep.
All right, I'm going to let you have that right now.
But these dudes, man, don't the dudes that bug me out. Like, everything is
the
show.
The baby is not my
everything.
Protection. I'm
done. Like, yo,
done.
Everything is all sweet until this girl get pregnant. Then all of a sudden it's bullshit. Like, what the fuck? This is the same girl that you sat here and laid down with. You took her to the mall. You took her to the movies. You did all this. You did all that. Now all of a sudden you hear that she cheating. Why didn't you hear that she was cheating when you was fucking?
Right, why y'all was at the mall?
Yeah. Why you take her to the mall? Why you just taking a payless then if she was cheating?
Right.
Like, come on, bro.
She should have strapped up, homie. She cheated. She strapped up.
Make sure you wait. Y'all just butchered the hell out of my topic, but I enjoyed that. Definitely some things that need to come out in the air. What's next? Turns out.
Yo, we see it all the time. Like, these dudes be bugging me out. Like, come on, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're looking at ultrasounds and shit. Like, come on, man. Fuck you look at an ultrasound and say that ain't my baby. Baby ain't fully developed yet, but you're looking for features and shit. Your ugly
like
ass look like the fucking
That baby look like a tadpole. I don't look like nobody in my family look like a frog.
That baby was Puerto Rican, but the baby mother white. Yeah. You gonna look Puerto Rican, my nigga?
That baby's eyes is closed. Nobody in my family sleep with clothes.
Like, you know, your fucking ugly ass look like the ultrasound, so she do look like you, you ugly bastard. Like, she look just like you right now, like, you know what I'm saying? No nose and shit.
Wait a minute. So do you want to go about the I ain't sleep with nobody. I'm 155%. That's
how you know they lying right there.
Yeah, keep it,
that's
G. Say no, girl.
I mean, you know, the females got their flaws. These dudes be killing me with this. Like, come on, man. At least get a test done. And then, you know, they do all that. Oh, this ain't mine. All right, let's go get the test done. Oh, I ain't got the money. Oh, I can't go do it. But you just want to disclaim this baby because you're looking at a white, black and white picture. Like, that baby's too light.
All my boys did it. So that means all your boys went through her. You ain't wear no condom. You nasty. But you call her nasty. You nasty. You ask behind all your boys in the morning. That's nasty.
I don't even watch Ratchet TV. That's what I call it, Ratchet TV.
Yeah.
I don't
even
watch
Ratchet
no more.
Too.
Like,
yeah, I used to have my Ratchet TV time, but now I don't do it no more because it burns too many cells, my brain cells. So I step back from it. I just read stuff, you know, hot topics about it, and I don't watch it no more.
Exactly.
I'm done.
I mean, hey.
I'm tired of seeing black men like acting like girls. I'm sorry. I don't watch, what's it called no more? Empire. Mm-hmm. Because I'm tired of seeing our black men either looking like thugs, uncaring black men who don't talk to them any type of way, or they gotta be gay. We got that. I can't do it anymore. I'm done.
It's a lot of stuff that I don't like. I've never seen an episode of the first series. I tried to get into it. I tried to watch like two episodes and I could never get into it. Nevertheless, it's just not for me. But a lot of the stuff, it's a lot of stuff to do. Girl, it's just too much.
Oh, wait a minute. Regardless of this, I gotta ask, come on, how you feel about the 50 Cent and Erica thing?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, say it again?
How you feel about 50 Cent and Erica? This is how I feel. First of all, Erica, that's my chick. But I think she did that because she got a new TV show coming out. Because she knows Goodwill will be president of the TV team. She knows as soon as she said what she said, he was coming for her. First of all,
Vivica should have known better. She's too old to be making stupid ass mistakes. If you knew you licked this man's ass, why the fuck are you running your mouth? We don't want to hear open all that shit.
She always talking shit. I knew she was
We don't want to hear all that shit.
I'm gonna tell you something. How long ago that was that they were dealing with each other?
Years.
Vivica knows she got slayed. She want to get slayed again. So she's trying to bring it back out.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something. This is what I think happened. 50 let her suck his dick and he didn't hit it. She got mad and got on TV and got mad. That's how she sound. Because you know she was trying to be with Ciara. When he was messing with Ciara, Vivica got really, she had really like a little ratchet. She was gonna for Ciara.
Vivica got slayed. 50 slayed her. 50 slayed it. She just ain't never forget. You know, y'all never forget that one that really slayed y'all. Like, you move on in life, but you don't forget that one that really put it down. Like, and she want that old thing back.
We don't get slayed.
She pitching. That's what she's doing.
She mad.
Well, Vivica, she cut her nose off to spite her face. She just fucked up on that one. And I actually watched the little footage on the little show she made the comment on. And, I mean, she was dead-ass serious. Like, she knew what she was talking about also for real shit. I was, like, looking at her the whole time like, you really fucked up.
But you know what? Yeah. With that being said, I think for this shit should come off of her only because, you know what I'm saying? She old. Let it go. Take your elder. Let it go.
You better keep getting in on Will and Jada.
But, you know, not to see a black man like a black woman in the impressed like that. Even though she did it first. She should have came at him because he didn't say nothing bad about her.
Exactly. I went away from that situation. She just brought it back out the world where, like.
Yes. Did y'all hear? Now she told the boy get back at her. Boy made something to say too. Yes, he did.
He
did. He tried to clap back. He better stop it.
And
Meek Mill's coming for 52. You seen that too, right? Meek Mill's coming for 52.
No,
Meek Mill's coming for 50.
Meek is not rap type. He might want to get back.
Meek couldn't even handle Drake. He better leave 50 alone.
Right, exactly.
You know, 50 in a spot in his house. Like, I was like, what is he doing?
50 boy, what he do? You just don't mess with on that.
He doesn't want to
bring
Meek
in here, too.
Yeah. After 50, John ain't been the same since. That nigga, they had to make that nigga go reality TV. He's not even in the rap no more.
At the same time, though, Drake went hard at Meek, right? But Bing said he slapped the shit out of Drake. Drake ain't never say nothing else. He ain't had no reply to that. Like,
you might.
I think he just mad because Drake got Nicki. Like, he was mad because Drake was mad because Meek got Nicki. Like, you know, he put Nicki all up in his songs out, what he'd do to her. Like, you know what I'm saying? But then this dude posted on Twitter one time. This dude posted on Twitter one time, you come out with all these songs.
But you know what? Nicki said the same thing about Drake, too. It wasn't just Drake saying stuff. Nicki was saying the same thing about Drake, too. And she got her ass all on his point. Now, come on. That's a two-way street right there.
Yeah, like, yo, Baby Siegel came on camera and said, because when he was mad at Jay, he's like, yo, all these little niggas, Drake and them, putting them in the song and stuff, he said, yo, keep it up. He said, I ain't even going to come at y'all. When I see y'all, I'm going to just smack the shit out of y'all. Somebody tell me that.
Yeah.
I got to respond. Like, all right,
yeah, he did.
Drake ain't.
Right, right, right.
Drake ain't had nothing to say.
I ain't trying to be funny. But come on, man. You know, good word Drake ain't going to say nothing. He better not have said nothing.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right. Drake ain't got the lyrical content to try to be battle rapping with Baines.
No,
like,
not at all.
Baines don't win at the best of them.
But this is what I understand, like, even with this Meek thing. Why didn't Meek come back hard? I think it was something. To me, something ain't right. He came back so weak. I don't understand why.
And love.
Maybe that's all he had in him.
And love.
But Meek, but you know, Meek is a big kid. He always crying about. First of all, why is you mad about a grown man promoting your album? He not even on your team. You just promote your album.
Meek knows to make Drake really mad, all he got to do is post a picture of him tonguing down Nicki, and Drake going to be mad because he was in love with Nicki.
Oh, wow.
He ain't
got to
put no song out for that. Like, just post a picture of you tonguing her down, and Drake going to go home crying.
They ain't going to get Drake mad.
Crying.
They don't care about that.
Drake was mad. Drake used to put Nicki in songs like, yo, I do this, I do that. Like, come on, man. He didn't even hit it. Maybe he did.
I don't know. What? Pause. He didn't what?
Drake was it to me, from my personal feeling, listening to him rap about her, he was halfway in love with Nicki.
Oh, my God.
Okay, prime example. Me and Tony co-hosts. And I'm sitting here, and I'm a rapper, and I'm mentioning Tony in every song. People are like, yo, he in love with fucking Tony.
You love me. You love me already, and you don't even make music. You love me.
Tony. We don't. Nah, yeah, I love you. You're my co-host. I'm supposed to love you.
Yeah, that's a good cleanup. I like that.
He stopped. He said, wait a minute. So my whole maybe listening. Keep on the song. I don't know.
You know, we laugh and we joke and we shoot the shit. We know it's all fun and game. We just bullshit around.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give people one honest statement. When I came into the studio today in the green room, the lights was out and some candles. When I turned the light on, it was ungodly. And Tony, and they just separated. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I just shut down. I don't know nothing about none of this. So, if
the candles,
my own
listen, the candles was on because we was waiting for PSNG to come and turn the light back on. So, we had to burn some candles.
And the wine
was just to get us ready for the show.
I'm on Keith Sweat in the background playing.
That's
the music mixed up. We told him to put Oscar sock paper on. He got the wrong something like that.
How was the music playing?
Listen, we told them to play T.I. and somehow they confused it with Keith Sweat. That wasn't our fault. We was waiting for PSCNG. The refrigerator wasn't working, so we had to drink the wine so it don't go bad.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's why.
Bad.
So, Kate,
why would you free her strawberry? Why would you free her strawberry from chocolate and drink it on her lips?
Because it was her birthday, so I just, like, I wasn't even giving it to her. She was eating it herself.
He just so happened to have them, and I asked him if I can get one. And he just gave it to me.
So did you have to lift the chocolate off his hand to help him because he had a rock rack? What's that, what?
No, I mean, it was just there. His hand actually even got in the way. He was handing me the strawberry, and I was trying to get my money set, and he was like, here, just take this. And I just took it, and his fingers don't happen to get in the way. You know what I'm saying? You seeing things. You delirious. You didn't even have your glasses on. If it was dark, how you see all of that?
Yeah. And we couldn't find a paper towel, so we ain't want to go in the air with our hands with chocolate all on them. So, you know, we had to clean our hands off.
That's right.
I guess you was hot when the shirt was off.
Yeah, I got wet because it was a water leak.
Oh, you got wet? Yeah, we had that shit in there. You got wet. Oh, we got it. He's a towel on you. Did you get up?
Stupid. Y'all dumb. Y'all burnt the fuck up.
Okay.
Yeah, I was using my shirt because it was wet. And because it was a water leak coming out the ceiling. And I didn't want no water damage. So
Did the water squirt on you?
The renter's insurance is paid up or nothing on the building, so we try to look out for her, make sure ain't no water leaks get in there and mess up the interior. And that's some good furniture we got up in here.
State Farm said they wasn't going to pay for that, so we had to do what we had to do.
And Affleck denied you. You know that I was on the phone when they denied you.
Exactly. It's teamwork in there.
Right, y'all can't be doing that on a business. It's a business, not a hotel, okay? It's a business. All right, we got you. We got you. Word. We straight. You ain't gotta worry about us looking out for you no more. Exactly. We ain't gotta worry about each other. That's how I seen it. One nut, two nuts. That's all I gotta say.
Yo, wrap this up, all right? Because Oro fuck around is going to Portugal. His neck split.
But y'all people are going to be. This is going to be crazy. I'm wrapping it up. This is Crossover Radio. I thank all the calls for calling in. Y'all should have raised your hands. But I see y'all. This season is going to be bananas. I'm going to control my age again. But we got so much going on this season. We're going to bring y'all some special guests. We got a good girlfriend we're trying to bring to the village.
Yes, sir.
We're also going to have some good little shows going on in the community. I don't know if y'all heard the show last night. We got a charity basketball game going to be coming this summer to Brick City. We got WNBA women and some of the pro athletes. You want to have a charity basketball game, Crossover Radio style, so we're going to be in the house this year. We're going to do that.
Absolutely.
We're going to try to find a charity to get the money to. I don't know who we're going to get the money to.
Me.
Maybe
I'm broke.
What's the name of my charity?
I will hold the money. I will hold the money. Okay?
You're not holding the money.
Tony, no. I need all the money. I need all the money to be given to me before the game. I might not make it to the game, but I will have the money. I will hold the money.
What's my name again, Tony?
Yeah, also, we're going to bring forth an organization. It's called Building the Bricks. It's going to be sponsored by Provision of Steel, and we're going to get a lot of things accomplished. We're trying to build the bricks back up, make sure these kids enjoy a little bit of life. We're going to start bringing some of the things that we used to do back to the bricks and show these kids that it's much more out here than what they're seeing. It's much more to life than just waiting for death. So look real soon to see some information coming to y'all. Remember, it's Building the Bricks, sponsored by Provision of Steel, mainly me and Keith. We're going to start off. Oh, I'm going to get you some information, too, so you can get your hands dirty in that, too. So look forward. We got a lot of things that's about to happen. We're trying to get a lot of stuff squared away and make some promising futures for these kids these days. So look forward, and we look forward to y'all support. You know what I'm saying? One brick helps another brick. Let's build no bricks back the fuck up, and let's get it done. So I turn it back over to you, Keith.
I'm done. It's all done. Turn. Go ahead. I'm done. I'm just gonna push a button.
No, I just want to say thanks for tuning in. Tune in next Tuesday where I deal with these two crazy ladies.
That's right.
I'm probably Drake. Hotline.
You got to love them, though. I love y'all, too.
Absolutely. We love you back. Thank y'all. Y'all enjoy y'all night. Good night.
Good night,
everybody.
We're out.
I've lived with feet before.
You know you're the baby.
Yeah. I love feet.
You know I like you.
No.
The toes, I'm not going to get with you.
No. No me digan una cosa así. I
would love to do that for you.
Yeah. You used to call me on my. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself now. Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed out. 'Cause ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor, hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you and me, we just don't get along. You make me feel like I did you wrong. Going places where you don't belong. Ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages in your passport. Hanging with some girls I've never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need.